the Drive Time Show on Toledo's sports leader, 106.5 The Ticket.
Miguel swings it to fly ball, right field, way back and right. Garcia to the fence, looking up, and it's gone, a home run.
Wow.
Miguel Cabrera with a two-run shot to right is 24th, his fifth home run in the last week. The Tigers hit it.
This 106.5 The Ticket sports exclusive is driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik Jr. at the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore.
Matthews got his throws. He's got Golden Tate, who makes the catch inside the 15, inside the 10, and he's biking away. He's into the end zone. Pack the bags. Start the plane. This game is over. Oh, baby, how big is that?
Get ready. It's now Drive Time.
Sweeping left side, 10-5. Touchdown, Curtis Samuel. And the Buckeyes win it in overtime. A game that they trailed by 10 points to give Ohio State a 30-27 victory over the University of Michigan.
Here's the host of Drive Time.
Now Gretzky's got a breakaway. He's in all alone. He shoots and scores. Curry blocked the shot. Then Gretzky ends 3-0.
Mike Miller is out there watching.
On its way, here's Chris DeMarco to win it. He wins it. DeMarco, 15 feet, 4 inches, Sarah Cup, President's Cup to the United States.
We're at the Superstore, everybody. Glad to have you on board. This is Drive Time. This is ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. My name is Mike Miller. Glad to have you on board, everybody. Big weekend of sports. Hope you enjoyed it. A lot of good things lined up on the show tonight. Kyle Rowland will join us. He was up at MIS on the weekend. Of course, young Larson wins it again. And I got to tell you, really just a kind of a lack of buzz up there. And Kyle Larson wins it. But again, in Kyle Rowland's story, really just another race that was single file and for the most part boring most of the afternoon until the restart. They went four wide, and Kyle Larson, who really wasn't in contention most of the day, he ends up winning it. So we're going to talk a little MIS. Kyle, of course, also covers the University of Michigan football team, and he was not there when Jake Rudock was the quarterback, but has some thoughts on Jake Rudock. It looks like he has kind of moved ahead of Brad Kaya in the number two position in the rotation for the Detroit Lions, who, by the way, beat Indianapolis by a score of 24-10 over the weekend. Indianapolis, really, it was a team that really was rotating a lot of their, well, like you do in the first preseason games. I mean, they get down to the third, fourth guy in the depth chart. Now, the Lions were a little bit different, especially on the offensive line with all the injuries they've had, of course, starting with Taylor Decker. I know Greg Robinson played a lot, but again, Lions pretty good. Kenny Golladay was really the big story for the Lions. And on the negative side, a guy, Kerry Hyder, who led the Detroit Lions last year in sacks with 8.5, probably done for the year, and a serious Achilles tendon injury. Not good news there. So we're going to talk some Detroit Lions as well. And Rudock with Kyle Rowland. Craig Kann will join us, the original host of the Golf Channel. Talk a little PGA Championship, of course. And, again, hats off to Justin Thomas. It really was just from a story standpoint for golf and PR. I mean, you can't watch the PGA without a lot of little stories about the history of the PGA, what the PGA does, the charities they're involved with, the people that made it great. Well, from a PR standpoint, not only was he a guy that was good enough to win, and people were kind of wondering where Justin Thomas has been, he certainly was solid down the stretch. At one time, if you looked at that leaderboard, there were six guys at 7 under par, tied for the lead. They started to separate on the back nine there of Quail Hollow, and he wins it. But his grandfather was a PGA club professional. His dad was a PGA club professional. So for a PR standpoint, really the PGA hit a home run over the weekend. The majors are over now, of course, with Sergio winning the Masters, Koepka winning the U.S. Open, Jordan Spieth of the Open Championship at Royal Birkdale, and Justin Thomas yesterday. So what are we focusing on now? Of course, football right around the corner. Ohio State and the University of Toledo open up on August the 31st. 31st, University of Michigan on September the 2nd. News there, their opponent, Florida. They suspended seven players. We're going to talk about that with Kyle Rowland as well. Lions with the win. They play Saturday night preseason. Another note, I watched a little bit last night, the Yankees and the Boston Red Sox. Pennant races, especially in the wild card side of things, starting to heat up here a little bit. Aaron Judge, who has been one of the big stories of the year, great kid, tremendous power, all 6 foot seven, 275 pounds of him, has struck out in 30 consecutive games. Now, you don't think the game of baseball has changed. Now, here's a guy with tremendous, tremendous power, but it's home run, strikeout. Home run or a strikeout, and again, getting back to what I touched on last week, a man that does not say a whole heck of a lot of anything. Al Kaline said, heck, you know, back when I was playing, I was embarrassed to strike out. That shows you how the game has changed now. It has turned into a game with possibly juiced baseballs, record-setting pace for home runs this year, but strikeouts, big part of that equation as well. And joins us around the corner. A little controversy, too, between Kevin Harvick and Dale Earnhardt Jr. We'll touch on that. So, Roland around the corner. This is Drive Time, driven by the Low Payment King. Ralph Mahalik with a summer clearance sales event continues. One of my favorites, at 2017 Dodge Charger SXT, 39-month lease, $168 a month. Visit MonroeSuperstore.com. Roland around the corner. We're rolling. This is Drive Time.
Sports. It's Drive Time on Toledo's sports leader, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore. This is ESPN 106.5 The Ticket, home of the Detroit Lions, the Michigan Wolverines, and, yes, the Ohio State Buckeyes. Glad to have you on board, everybody. A big weekend of sports. I can tell you that Craig Kann will be joining us tonight at about 5:35. Craig was the first hire of the Golf Channel and was the host for many, many years. In fact, he preceded Ryan Burr, who does that work now. Ryan Burr, if you don't know it, has a lot of experience in Toledo. I believe at one time worked for Channel 24 here. Craig Kann and I go back all the way to, well, I would say the early 90s, maybe the late 80s. He was a weekend anchor in Kalamazoo, Michigan, and I was there doing the play-by-play for the Kalamazoo Wings. He went on to big and better things, of course. The first hire by the Golf Channel was hired by Mr. Arnold Palmer. Craig Kann will join us at 5:35. Now he heads up the Kann Advisory Group. Kyle Rowland joins us here at 5:15 on the Vito's Pizza phone line. I love the ingredients. You should love the ingredients, too. Vito's Pizza, ingredients you can trust. Hello, Kyle. How are you?
I'm doing great, Mike. How are you?
Well, I read your story. Thank you, number one, for asking. Yeah, I'm doing fine, and I guess I couldn't agree more with just seeing a little bit of the race yesterday. Pretty exciting finish, but for the most part, you know, I loved your parallel there to, of course, just a very placid day on US 23 or 223. Not a lot going on when it came to that race yesterday, and it's really become, I think, the I guess the MO of Michigan International Speedway. And that's not a lot of passing, not a lot of 2, 3, 4 wide. And that, let's be honest, that's what the people come to see.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate because obviously Michigan used to create some pretty exciting races, but that has not been the case as of late. Yesterday, just another example, I thought it was just a dreadfully boring event. Virtually no passing whatsoever. I mean, it was just solid racing all day. The leader, pole setter, Brad Keselowski, got out ahead early, ended up fading to 17th. But, I mean, he basically just led the whole first two quarters of the race, and there was just no action. I mean, single file racing, no passing, just a bunch of nothing. And I know the sport as a whole has, you know, much bigger problems than what's going on at Michigan, but when you factor all those things going on in the sport and then also, you know, not exciting races, it creates huge problems for MIS. And, I mean, I don't know what they can do because, I mean, a lot of it is because of this repave, I think, that happened a few years back. And, I mean, I don't know what the solution is. I really don't think there's necessarily much they can do.
You know what? You led to my next question that I had jotted down here. What do you do? And number two, they have tried some things in the past, and it's really just been a tough situation. And, boy, I mean, it kind of – listen, I remember going up there 10, 15 years ago, and they still had the additional grandstands built. Wow, you could not – you better get your tickets early to get a good ticket up there, but it is painful to watch. Listen, I love the start of the race you know, all the fanfare, the pomp and the circumstance, and the guys cranking up their engines. But once it starts, unless there's a caution or unless there's a wreck, I mean, it really, it's almost like watching a paint dry. Hey, the other thing you touched on, and I like the story, and I want to maybe look at this as a devil's advocate here. I think we live in a time, and your story didn't reflect this. I'm not taking the other side, but it's an observation here. Anything that is said now or an observation that is, you know, taken in a particular way. I think Kevin Harvick actually made some pretty valid points here. Listen, everybody can name a Dale Earnhardt Jr. By the way, Kyle Rowland wrote a story in yesterday or today's paper rather about, again, it was Dale Earnhardt, big part of the stunning of the growth in NASCAR because, listen, he's got the most fans, but he's not winning. You basically stated what you thought about this. Any other observations on this, and have they kissed and made up yet?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like they have to a certain extent. It was a pretty wounding statement, I think, by Harvick. Especially when you consider that Dale Jr. is just a very nice guy who's not confrontational. And then, you know, his career is winding down very soon. I mean, 2 months away. And then there's this comment that basically said he's not good for the sport. I mean, that's when you really break it down, that's basically what Kevin Harvick said. So, I mean, I think he was very, very hurt, by it. But I don't know. I mean, it's hard for me to give into the devil's advocate, line of thinking because I just don't know. I mean, if Dale Jr. would have won a bunch of championships, I just don't know how that really does much more. I mean, the guy kind of transcended the sport. Just has all these legions of fans. I don't know if he necessarily would have brought more people into the sport and if he would have brought kind of the casual fan. So I don't know. I have a hard time seeing Kevin Harvick's side of the story.
No, and I get what you're saying, and I can see it that way as well. I just don't know if, you know, really if he was intentionally trying to hurt Dale Earnhardt Jr. I think what he is saying is, listen, for the casual fan, we know who Dale is. And to be quite honest with you, for all the things he's done, he's the face of the sport. I don't think anybody's and Harvick was in a way. Listen, I host a radio show, and sometimes you get talking. I don't want to say he was misconstrued. I just think he was kind of thinking in a different light about this, and certainly nobody taking anything away from Dale Earnhardt Jr. But that being said, I don't know. It's been a tough time. I mean, look at Kyle Larson. He's won three consecutive times at MIS. Now, I don't know if he's going to – I don't know if anybody's going to be able to carry this sport forward. I guess good question here. Kyle Rowland joins us on the Vito's Pizza phone line. Listen, Dale Earnhardt Jr. is not going to be replaced, but if there's two or three guys that you think might be able to carry the baton, and it's an awful big job to try to repair the marketing side of this sport, who would it be, do you think?
Well, the guy you mentioned, Kyle Larson, I think is absolutely one of those people. I mean, he's fairly charismatic. He's a young guy. It seems like young people are always attracted to young guys, especially, I mean, talking about golf, for example. I mean, Ricky Fowler, Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, all these guys are, I don't know, they're on social media and people just kind of get to know them more maybe. So I think Kyle Larson is definitely a guy that's could become, honestly, the most popular guy in NASCAR. I know his merchandise sales, I read something last week, have jumped like 150% or something like that this year. So he'll certainly be a guy to look at in the future. And some of these other Hendrick Motorsports guys, I mean, I guess you have to look at Alex Bowman, who's replacing Dale Earnhardt Jr. I assume a lot of those people will attach themselves to him. William Byron is another, you know, big up-and-comer. He'll be driving the 5 car for Hendrick next year. I don't know if people will embrace Jimmy Johnson. I mean, I think Jimmy Johnson's incredibly likable, but a lot of people say he's boring and whatnot, and I don't know if you want to jump on the bandwagon of a 7-time winner. I mean, he's kind of like the New York Yankees of the sport. But I think it's going to be utterly fascinating to see what happens the next, you know, 5 or 10 years with NASCAR. Because obviously they've got major problems, and then it's compounded when Jeff Gordon and Tony Stewart and Dale Jr. all retire in consecutive years.
No, you make a great point. Where's it going? Kyle Rowland joins us here on Drive Time talking a little motorsports, and he was at MIS. Was there anybody there yesterday, Kyle?
Man, it was a very, very small crowd. It wasn't enjoyable looking up in those stands and seeing that. I was talking to some of the guys in the pits beforehand, and they're just like, I mean, look at this. There's no one here. So it's tough. I mean, it seems like the August race is always, you know, the lesser attended of the two, but very small crowd yesterday.
Kyle Rowland joins us here in Drive Time. Of course, it's driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mihalik. One more observation on that. You go to the MIS website, and there's an entire page dedicated to euchre tournaments and day trips and camping and all sorts of other things. And, you know, Rich Brenner, the president up there, he has got his hands full. There's no question about that. And as Kyle just mentioned, the next 5-10 years, where is NASCAR going? We'll keep a close eye on that one as well. Hey, you mentioned the August race, Kyle Rowland, at MIS. How about the PGA moving to May in 2019? You got the Masters in April, the PGA in May, of course, the U.S. Open in June. Then in July, you're over in England or United Kingdom for the Open Championship. Any thoughts on the new schedule?
Personally, I like it. I think it's cool. I think it's kind of nice to have a major, you know, consistently through April, May, June, July. It'll be good for the sport, I think, to kind of finish before football season really gets ramped up. I think there's no doubt there's kind of a correlation between the interest once, you know, September rolls around. Nowadays, even with the FedEx Cup, it just seems like after the PGA, the interest, I don't know, sometimes kind of drops off because you're into September and August with football. But it'll be interesting. It certainly, I think, is a big thing for the PGA. Because they're right in the middle of the major rotation. They're after the Masters. So I think it really brings some more life to that tournament, which is clearly number 4 in line, with all the majors. I think it'll be interesting to see what it does to the Memorial Tournament, in Dublin, Ohio. They're kind of going to be sandwiched in a bad spot. It looks like it's going to be 2 weeks after the PGA, 2 weeks before the US Open. I don't know. It seems like their field could lose a little bit, maybe, but it'll kind of, I guess, play out. But kind of cool having a condensed schedule with, I mean, players are going to play a lot from April to, you know, August or September. So I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, a lot of the players calling for a larger off season as well. They have this interlocking schedule. Again, as Kyle Rowland joins, I guess the owner, the side of this that I see all the positives on this as well. The only thing is, and you know this, I'm a huge golf fan, especially when it comes to the majors. You don't get me away from the television set, you know, normally for about 4 days. And now I'm thinking all of a sudden in July, the television viewing for the majors is over. So that gap to football and maybe the playoffs and baseball getting a little bit longer. My other observation is golf and NASCAR as well. They tried to fire this playoff scenario at everybody. I don't think it's worked in golf. It certainly hasn't worked in NASCAR as well. So I'm going to try to get into the FedEx Cup a little bit, but really I think that's had a tough time really catching on as well. Hey, I know you weren't at Michigan when Jake Rudock played there, but I enjoyed watching him yesterday. He's moved ahead of Brad Kaya for the backup job behind Matt Stafford. Does anybody up at Michigan, when you're covering the team in Ann Arbor, I know Jim Harbaugh had him for a year. He went to Iowa, went to Michigan a year in the pros last year. That's 6 years of a pretty good training ground for a guy. He looked great on Sunday. Is there any parallel you can draw there between Mr. Rudock and a former National Football League quarterback, Jim Harbaugh?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I don't know. I mean, I guess the only ones Harbaugh's had are what, Andrew Luck and Josh Johnson from the University of San Diego. So I don't know if you can put Rudock in the same class as Luck, but I mean, I think there's any question that if Rudock stays at Iowa and never transfers to Michigan and never has kind of the tutelage of Jim Harbaugh, I can't imagine he's in the position he's in right now. And there's just no question that Jim Harbaugh is this. He's a quarterback guru. I mean, he knows the position inside and out. He knows how to make these guys, you know, very successful. And what he, you know, brings out in quarterbacks and what he covets in quarterbacks is the same thing that they want in the NFL as well. I mean, that's why, I mean, Urban Meyer is never going to have a great NFL quarterback because his style, I mean, just doesn't, you know, translate to the NFL at all. But, you know, last year, you know, Rudock actually came up, you know, Wilton Spate talked about him saying, you know, learning under him last year and he kind of mentored him and everything and just talked about how much that helped him, you know, as a first year starter last year as a sophomore. So I guess, you know, there's still some of Jake Rudock rubbing off on the Michigan football program.
Hey, before I let you go, when's your next trip up, US 23 and, heading over to 94 Saline Road to write a story in the University of Michigan. By the way, Kyle, I see where Florida has suspended seven players. September the 2nd, Florida taking on the University of Michigan. Your next coverage will be reading for, about the Wolverines, and any thoughts on the seven-player suspension?
Yeah, it's big. I mean, it certainly, I think, is a game-changer. I mean, Antonio Callaway, Florida's biggest playmaker, wide receiver, is suspended, so that'll make a big impact. Michigan was already favored. I think this makes them even more favored, although interesting, the line did not move at all today. But, I mean, I would prefer that, you know, it's a great game and everyone's healthy. I'm sure Michigan fans are happy about it, but you just always kind of want both teams to be, you know, perfect and have this big clash because it's a pretty solid opening week game.
No doubt about it. I had to laugh because exactly what you just said, I was thinking about when I asked you the question, Kyle, about the seven guys suspended. The first thing that came to my mind was, geez, I wonder how much that changed the line in Vegas. And you said it hasn't moved.
Yeah, I was just shocked by that. I thought for sure. I mean, same thing yesterday when I saw it. I was like, oh, I bet the line will move, you know, huge. But, yeah, it didn't even move. So that's very interesting.
Good stuff. When you heading to Ann Arbor?
I will be up Wednesday.
Good stuff. Hey, thanks for coming on, Kyle. Always appreciate it. A-lister on the drive time. Your contributions, again, appreciated. Thank you.
Absolutely, Mike. Thanks a lot.
Kyle Rowland joins us here in Drive Time, the show driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik. My name is Mike Miller. Kyle, of course, comes courtesy of the Vito's Pizza phone line. Vito's Pizza, ingredients you can trust. A quick reminder that this presentation is brought to you by Monroe Golf and Country Club. Great golf, delicious dining, great green fee rates as well. TAS Electronics update with Jim Cushlin right around the corner. A little weather, a little sports as well. Traffic as always brought to you by SuperFitnessToledo.com. Hey, coming up Saturday, by the way, is that 2017 Andrew Gulch Memorial Golf Tournament and hockey-themed golf outing to benefit muscular dystrophy, dinners, silent auctions, chance to play with a walleye, storm, or gold digger player. Again, visit info at gulchmemorial.com. Also like to mention on August the 23rd, beer tasting, Angelo's Northwood Villa, $40 ticket, buffet-style meal, and beer. That's at Angelo's coming up on Wednesday, August the 23rd. Cushlin, update after this. My name's Mike Miller. This is Drive Time.
The cure for annoying traffic jams
It's the Drive Time Show on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's your host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to ESPN 106.5 The Ticket, Toledo Drive Time, home of the Ohio State Buckeyes, and yes, the Michigan Wolverines on one of the cumulus cluster. Detroit Lions, who had a 24-10 win over the Indianapolis Colts in their first preseason game on Sunday. We talked to Kyle Rowland, who's been busy. He's a University of Michigan beat writer for football, but also was up at MIS yesterday covering the Pure Michigan 400. Nobody there to watch that race. A lot of issues up there. Single file racing, no passing, no cautions. Ended in an exciting fashion, but NASCAR certainly with dwindling and dwindling crowds. Big part of the summer here in the Michigan area has not been good from a marketing standpoint over the last couple of years. Also touched, he is the golf writer too, Kyle Rowland for the Toledo Blade, touched on the big win, of course, Justin Thomas. Gentlemen, now, and I want you to go to this website if you could, canadvisory.com, Can Advisory Group. Craig Can joins us, the original host, by the way, at the Golf Channel. Hello, Craig, how are you?
Hey, Mike, how you doing, man? Good to talk with you. I'm stuck in Orlando traffic, as always, so this is the perfect opportunity.
No, good stuff. Sorry about you being stuck. I know there's people in Northwest Ohio feeling the same strife that you're feeling now with all the construction we got going on here. I guess first things first, any thoughts on the PGA? I know it's been a while since you've been in the booth, but I know your love for the game, and I know you were an executive with the LPGA. Justin Thomas, and I guess first things first, from a PR standpoint,
yeah.
When's the PGA? His dad was a PGA club professional. His grandfather, a PGA club professional. From PR, doesn't get any better than that.
No, it doesn't. I mean, that's legacy stuff. It's history stuff. And you know what? It's a feel-good thing for family. I mean, if you were out there with your kids, you love that sort of thing. And if you were watching at home, how can you not root for a kid like Justin? It's really neat to see where golf is right now with the youth movement. I mean, if you look at this year and the majors, obviously Sergio, he's like the wily old veteran now, right? And you got Justin Thomas, you got Jordan Spieth, you got Dustin Johnson. John Rahm's a great player, obviously. Ricky Fowler certainly draws a lot of people's attention. I think the game is in a really good place. And for those who thought, you know, years ago that the Olympics would roll around as they did last year, and not have Tiger Woods or Phil Mickelson in it, they would have said, you're kidding me. But that's where golf's gone on the men's side. There's a lot of young talent. They know how to play the game, and they seemingly do it with all the right stuff, if you will. They know how to sign autographs. They know how to take pictures. They know how to smile for the camera. It's in a good place right now, and it's obviously great for the PGA of America to get him as a winner.
Craig Can joins us, Can Advisory Group, business, sports, education, inspiring and empowering leaders to stand out when they stand up. Again, glad to have you on board, everybody. By the way, be careful tonight in Southeast Michigan and Northwest Ohio. Hey, were you ever down at Quail Hollow, by the way? And you talk about what they call the Green Mile there, of course, 16, 17, and 18. I know for years they had a regular tour stop. Any experience on your side with the venue?
Absolutely. How about as recently as May when I was co-hosting Peter Osterhaus's charity event to benefit Alzheimer's? I was there. Jim Nance and I co-hosted it together, which was a whole lot of fun, and obviously a thrill for me to be around Jim. He's a class act and a legend in sports broadcasting, so that was a lot of fun. We played the golf course. Peter Costas was there. Bobby Clampett was there. There were a whole lot of folks there to support Peter, and the golf course was tough then. I will tell you, and you know my game well enough to know that this is an aberration more than anything else, but I made par at 18. And I was closest to the pin on 17, 4 feet with a 5-iron into the wind, and won a free golf bag that Jim Nance had to give me that night, which is actually like stealing. So I felt really good about it. But you know what? That is a great venue, and Charlotte is such a good community for golf. That's been a fantastic PGA Tour stop for a number of years. A great venue, a big ballpark, as they like to say, for crowds. And they had so many spectators out there. That scene at the 18th was awesome. And I'm sure they'll get another major championship, 10 years from now or something. It was that good.
Craig Tann joins us here in Drive Time on the Vito's Pizza phone line. Vito's Pizza, ingredients that you can trust. Hey, give me your thoughts on televised golf now. Just a couple of things. These are observations, I think, Craig Tann, more than they are criticisms. But, you know, number one, listen, I understand this is a revenue-driven business. And this is nothing against Ernie Johnson, who did a good job, and he's had some personal challenges in his own right. I used to run into Ernie in my days in the National Hockey League down at Phillips Arena a few times in Atlanta. But you go to TNT on Thursday, CBS then on the weekend. Same thing. Fox is in the mix right now as well. But a lot of different channel jumping with Golf Channel, your former employee, maybe in the morning and the afternoon. And, again, I'm not looking for necessarily, like I said, a criticism here, but your observations on it and what does this all mean and how did this all come together? Is there anything I'm missing besides the revenue side of it?
Well, I think everybody wants a piece of the pie when it comes to live sporting events, as much as you can get, because the programming of the studio shows is basically, surround sound, if you will, of the games themselves or the sports themselves. You don't have to go back that far to think of the NCAA basketball tournament. I mean, it's on CBS, it's on TBS, it's on TNT, and it's on True TV. You know, I'm surprised the Golf Channel doesn't jump in on that. But, you know, that's just where we are in sports, and it's the same with baseball. Fox has it 1 minute. FS1's got it the next minute. ESPN's got it the next. You can go to WGN. You don't know where the Cubs or the White Sox are because they could be on Comcast one night. They could be on GN the next. And then they could be, if you're local, on ABC7 as they were just the other day. So it's very confusing, but everybody wants a piece of the pie. For the viewer, that means that you've got to be really good with your channel guide. You've got to pay a whole lot more attention to newspapers or Twitter to find out where the game is. And I actually think it hurts a little bit. It's not the day and age where we all knew, okay, I'm going to watch this, and I know it's going to be on this channel. As far as golf specifically is talked about, look, the Golf Channel NBC's benefited greatly, but they also lost the USGA package, as everybody knows, but then they pick up the Open Championship, which has been great for them. So there's a shuffling of announcers, there's a shuffling of channels, there's a shuffling of golf, and there's so much of it on TV that the problem with sports, in my opinion, and I'm a huge sports fan, of many sports, be it hockey, NBA, Major League Baseball, whatever it might be, college football, you don't know what's next and where it is, and nothing seems truly important anymore. So the ratings game is difficult from a revenue standpoint, and I don't know that anybody's going to ever hit the big bonanza again.
You know what? You answered my question. I didn't want to lead you there, but listen, saturation is one of the things. By the way, it sounds like you're still finding your Chicago White Sox someplace. And by the way, I read a story the other day. Kenny Williams and his crew's done a pretty good job. Bad year this year, but they got some pretty good young talent in their organization as well. Craig Tann joined us.
Yeah, I'm buying World Series tickets for 2023.
That's about right. That's why I'm right. Tigers are right behind you in 26, no doubt about it. Hey, PGA moving to May. What's your thoughts on that, Craig Tann?
I like it. I don't think the players should ever have moved from the date they had into May. It forced them into a change of the golf course, and now they're going to go back to a date that they probably should have been in. But if you really want to get down to the nuts and bolts of it, it's not about venue. It's not about anything more than time of year and competition against football. That's what this is all about. The FedEx Cup playoffs are the exact answer to why football is so big. They've got to end it beforehand because nobody is paying attention at that point. So the players themselves are trying to figure out, how do I maximize my schedule? How do I maximize my appearances? The wraparound PGA Tour schedule is a tough thing for some guys to deal with. I think everybody wants a break, and it used to be that people would say, I can't wait for the PGA Tour to tee it up in Hawaii. Well, now they never really end, but those events aren't really that big, and therefore some of the other ones don't feel big. So, look, I love the PGA going to where it is. I think that major has always gotten the short stick as far as people talking about, where it falls in the lineup. I love the folks and the executives at the PGA of America. They've done a phenomenal job under Pete Pavakwa to take that championship to better venues. And draw big crowds and all of that stuff. So it's good for the game all the way around. You got the Players in March, the Masters in April. Then you go, you know, May with the PGA, June with the U.S. Open, and then the Open Championship, and suddenly you're at the playoffs and you get done before football. I mean, that's about as smart as it could get, and it seems like it should have happened a while ago.
Well, the only thing I don't like is one of my favorite times of the year is television, majors, golf, love it, and it ends now in July starting 2019. It never ends in Toledo. We have historic Inverness here. I know the 2017 Solheim Cup getting underway this week out in West Des Moines, Iowa, will be at Inverness in 2021 with the Solheim Cup. I know you've always been very complimentary on golf in Toledo and what type of golf town it is now and what it's always been in the history. So any thoughts on, of course, the Solheim Cup this week and in 2021 out at Door Street, Toledo at Inverness?
Well, first off, you know, we could do a half-hour show on the Solheim Cup and women's golf in Toledo. It's not just an event in Toledo. It's a happening. There's a big difference. It's not just another tournament on the schedule. It's the biggest show in town, and it feels like it. It's always been great to go to Toledo. It's got a great history for women's golf, let alone the LPGA. They treat the players right. The players love coming in there because it's a community effort. It's obviously fantastic for Inverness and the whole group there in Toledo to get the Solheim Cup. They'll do a phenomenal job. But in my opinion, they're going to have a whole lot to live up to because this week in Des Moines is going to be unreal. I was there for the kickoff press conference a few years back when they announced, or we announced, that that the Solheim Cup was going to Des Moines. The folks there are so into it. It's a joke. I was there for three other press conferences and a bunch of other events. That place is huge. They will have more fans there than you can imagine. They had a major for the Champions Tour years back and basically set every record there was. And I think they're going to do the same this week. So, that's great for women's golf. It's actually good for Toledo because the thing is gaining huge momentum and, it is the spectacle in women's golf. So kudos to the folks in Toledo to get it. And I hope everybody tunes in and watches this week because it's going to be spectacular theater.
Good stuff, Canner. Did I miss anything before I let you go?
I don't know. I mean, did we talk Summer League NBA? We didn't really get into that too much. We haven't really talked about training camp for the NHL. I mean, I the Blackhawks, another reshuffle. I know the Red Wings got a new stadium. I mean, Mike, we're doing our own show, gosh sakes.
I think we should. I'm booking time as we speak. Thanks for coming on, Craig. Hey, by the way, canadvisory.com. I want all the business folks in Toledo to take a look. Craig, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. I hope your traffic jam is unsnarled, and somewhere down the road we'll do it again.
That is great. Doing a big workshop tomorrow with Diamond Resorts for all their executives and basically elevating communication. That's what we do, and I'm really looking forward to tomorrow, and thanks for the plug, and I hope to see some folks in Toledo. Get all those businesses to sign me up. I'll come in. I'll buy you the first beer, and I'll let you have free media coaching and presentation skills training on me, okay?
No doubt about it. The contract's in the mail. Done deal. Thanks, Craig.
All right. Take care.
Craig Kahn, Kahn Advisory Group. Original host of the Golf Channel. Back with more after this timeout. My name's Mike Miller. Glad to have you on board. Back to close it out after this.